Hey, everybody. Today we're going to talk about mimics, the lore behind them, some of the folklore beliefs that may have made the foundation for us to believe in mimics, as well as some theories that were mind-blowing and exciting. Something mimicking you in the woods, what the fuck is it doing?
Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. We are still alive in 2026. Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? We're recording this in 2025. We have such hopes for 2026.
Like being alive.
It's going to be a good year.
Is it?
Look, man, I can only go through so much. I can only persevere through so many fucking things. But let's talk about what we're talking about. So today, we're going to be talking about a bit of Appalachian folklore that's collectively described as mimics. The story's varying, but the advice is the same. If you hear someone calling your name in the woods, no, you didn't.
We've all seen those scary TikToks.
We've all seen them. Some of the lore kind of varies. And so we're aggregating it all into mimics. Something mimicking you in the woods. What the fuck is it doing? That's the general understanding. You just don't answer it because I don't know you. That's my purse, if you will.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the lore before we get into some more of the stories. But sometimes people will hear their own voice, but it could also be the voice of someone who they love. And we've also seen situations where it's like familiar music, cries for help, or the sound of a child crying, which I feel like is particularly luring, if you will.
Right. I feel like if I heard my own voice, though, that would be like an automatic like, no. Right. Like if it's someone you love or a child or something, you're like, oh, I'm intrigued. But like your own voice, you're like, ew, why? Like when I edit, I don't even want to hear it, let alone like if something's trying to mimic me.
Well, so, and that's the thing, right? Unless you have heard yourself talking for hundreds of hours like we do, I don't know if you would recognize your own voice. I don't think our voices sound the same to us as they do to other people. I just think that the average person doesn't know what their voice sounds like. And if they heard it coming from the woods, they would just be like, that's a person. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, your own voice. So you're like, well, obviously that's not me.
You and I would know. I'd be like, I'm not editing that. I'm not doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. But it wouldn't lure me in. It would be like, ew, what the fuck is happening? There can't be two. There just can't.
Yeah. I'd be like,
unless we're switching timelines.
Yes. Yes. In which case you're like, get over here. I'm going to go live in the woods. It's my turn.
You're right.
But towards it.
Yeah, then I go. I'll run as fast as I can for as long
Hoofing
as I
it.
Can.
Hoofing it. Okay. So some lore says that mimics learn how to lure you by watching you first. So that way they're more likely to get your attention. And I fucking hate the idea of that, that they're like, oh, I know what will make you come into the woods. But also I'm like, then you would have learned that one, sounding like me isn't going to get me to go there.
Yes. Also, how I think of it is, what a waste of time for you. Like, I'm not going to respond.
If that's your purpose, though, in life is to like lure unsuspecting people into the woods, not a waste of time. That's your passion.
Yeah. But like for me personally, like one, you're going to be super fucking bored. Like you're going to be so bored.
No, they're having a great time watching you.
And then I think of it like when a spam call comes in
and
I'm like, I am going to waste so much of your time and we're going to chit chat.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of think of that, like, I'm going to waste so much of your time when you could be preying on someone else because it's not going to work.
Yeah. You're like, now you're my prey.
Exactly.
I love that. What a time. Okay. So they're trying to get your attention, right? They're just figuring it out. There's also some lore that the reason they're trying to get you to come into the woods is because they're going to come out and replace you. And I'm like, good fucking luck, buddy. Come on out. You want to pay taxes? You want to have to grocery shop, decide what to make for dinner every night? Sure. Send me into whatever little alternate dimension you want to send me into where I have to eat like fucking tree bark and sap and like live in a river. Sounds good. Sounds fucking good.
Right. You want to trade me?
Yeah. You want responsibilities? Woodland monster?
Bet.
Get the fuck out of here. maybe we are the mimics. We're like, do you want to come and steal my life? Come on. It's fun here.
Come on. Yeah. Joke's on you.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
As much.
No takesie backsies. No takesie backsies.
As we run into the forest.
Man.
Oh,
man.
The townspeople are like, all we kept hearing is no takesies backsies. What does that mean?
In the woods, she just kept screaming, no takesies backsies. Our husband's standing at the doors. Yeah, the last thing I saw was my wife gleefully running into the woods with, insert like thing you would take into the woods. For me, it would be like something to be able to read on and a charger, obviously.
Oh, I was like, my dogs, yeah. My herd of dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, well, no, whatever it is might eat my dog. So I'm going to let her. And also, like, Moo is not meant to live outside. She's an indoor girly. We were walking in snow earlier and she was like, ew, ew.
Oh, it snowed there?
Yeah, it did. It was
it's
nice.
It's 80 here right now.
Well, fuck off. That's disgusting. It's December in Arizona. It should not be that way. I mean, it's January in December because this is in January.
The future.
The future. Okay. So our mimics, they're going to steal our lives. Oh, no. But if you acknowledge them, they won't leave. So you're like, howdy ho, mimic. Come on in. No takesie backsies.
You want to hang? Because I don't trust people anymore. So maybe we'll move on to mimics.
Yeah. Come on. It's the year of a woodland monster, baby. 2026.
Yeah.
And that's now our episode title.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget about people ruining your lives. Mimics are here.
We need fresh horrors daily. You know what I mean? So one of the things that's interesting about this is, like, we're going to get into theories later, as you know we do. But some people are like, it's just the woods acoustics. But I'm like, you're telling me, like, trees bouncing around sound is different than, like, a city? Sound still comes from a relatively predictable-ish place because people will be like, oh, my kid's inside. But I, like, look outside and I'm like, why do I hear somebody? And I'm like, if they're next to you, you're not going to hear them coming from, it's not going to come from the woods.
Right.
Oh, it's just the acoustics. That sounds like denial, my friend.
That does. That does.
Oh, and then the other part. So, okay. Hey, woodland monster, you go running into the woods, no takesies, backsies, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happens next is either one, you're never seen again. Two, you'll see like a nearly human silhouette. So it'll look like a human, but they'll be like just a little too tall. Their hands, their fingies will just be like a little too long. Like everything's just a little too long, which I don't, that particular like image kind of freaks me out a bit because it's not Slender Man. It's a silhouette.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, you want to trade me?
Yeah.
Come on over, Shadow.
Yeah. Come on. Long fingies. Come on in.
No takesie backsies.
Long fingies. Long fingies. Come on in. We've got responsibilities here.
Bye.
But you're going to have to figure out what to eat for dinner every night.
Mm-hmm. And your kid will hate everything you make. Good luck. Bye.
And your dog will steal it if you look in the other direction because she's on Pred and she's chonky. And sometimes she just goes for a jaunt at 4:45 in the fucking morning. In the snow. In the snow, she went for a jaunt. She got out of the yard.
Oh, no. Mine. I had to wake them up this morning. Today's an early rise day and the dogs did not want to get up.
Oh,
I had to make them get up. They were still sleeping and were like, ew, absolutely not.
I love that for them, though, that they're like, we can opt out and we're going to.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the encounters that have happened with mimics. The stories of mimics are often the same. A person hears someone they love or they know calling them from the woods. And the internet is positively teeming with so many stories. Like I said at the beginning, like when I'm scrolling TikTok, I feel like every time I'm going to run into one of these stories and I stay for all of it every time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes. That's kind of hard, though, because it's a hard thing to prove because it's just audio. They could have just somebody out in the woods.
They certainly could. Yeah.
Yeah. When Amanda and I did our first Appalachian episode, we wanted to include mimics in that. But we were like, oh, that's too much. And that's why we saved it for its own episode. We kept seeing these in our feeds.
Oh, yeah. I have so many of those saved.
So like if you type in mimics in TikTok, you're going to have a journey. Don't do it late at night, though, because it'll fuck you up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you live in or near Appalachia.
It's even spookier at night, and I love it. So hikers have heard cries for help repeating in the trees as if it's like on a weird loop. I think of like Blair Witch when they hear, like when they're in the tent and they hear all the children.
Yeah. Children laughing.
Yeah.
the idea of someone being like, help me, help me, help me. And the more you listen to it, the more it starts to sound like you. That would fuck me up too.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be very strange. Also, I just, the people that go to check it out, like you know, like when you watch a horror movie and you're like, no, don't go. I feel like I'd be like, there's a better person way better for this position than I will not be able to help, especially in the woods. I am not outdoorsy. I'll end up killing you accidentally. I can't.
Yeah. No, exactly. Like Ben and I, before watching the new Stranger Things, we've been rewatching it. The one thing that we kept saying was, I simply would not have investigated this. I do not have the type of bravery necessary for this type of life. I'm a cozy little indoor girl. Like, I have no interest in heroics in that way. And I would be like, there's something weird in the woods. I should stay inside.
Yeah, I'd be like, I would call someone perhaps to like help because one, not outdoorsy.
But who are you gonna call?
Two, I'm going to get lost and then I'm gonna be the one screaming for help. It's just not gonna work out in anyone's favor.
No, it's really, really not.
But a loop of the same sound over and over again is very unsettling.
Yes.
Now, people have heard their dogs barking outside, but then we'll notice that their dog is happily indoors, you know, sleeping, snoozing, and it's also barking outside somehow. And that typically would get someone's attention, right? Oh, my dog's barking. That's alerting me to something.
Yeah. Hearing a dog bark in the woods, I don't like that, but it is a thing that exists in the world. Also, somebody could be with their dog. I heard people were like, oh, they went to see if it was their dog. And I'm like, no. I know my dog's bark. And I feel like most dog parents know their dog's particular bark.
Yeah. Anyways, so as we said, the internet has so many stories and we want to share a few with you. Some people who live in Appalachia recount that in their homes, they'll hear another person who lives with them talking when they aren't home or like when they aren't present, like a spouse hearing one another or a parent hearing their child when they're at school. Just bizarre situations.
I don't want to hear a sound where it shouldn't be generally. But of all places that it's just simply not allowed to scare me is my house. Come on now. I'm cool with ghosties. That's fine. They live here. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Roommates.
Yeah. But I simply am just not having a situation where there's like other entity. Do you know what I mean? No woodland monsters in the house. You know, come on, take it outside, kids.
I was just thinking, you know how before we started recording today, we were talking and I was saying like how my husband can't hear. Like I have to like literally like wave my hand in front of him to speak to him.
He would never notice. He would never notice there was a mimic.
Yeah, like a mimic would just get so frustrated and leave if they were trying to like abduct either of my boys. Like they would give up.
The mimic would be like, come on, girly. Come on, girly. They're not listening. Let's go.
Yeah, they're like, they cannot hear unless you are standing in front of them, like waving your arms. And then they're like, oh, you're speaking? So,
yeah.
I feel like the mimic's jobs are just getting harder and harder.
I mean, these days, kids and their cell phones.
Let's flip this episode. They're having a hard time with us.
Honestly, look, here's the deal. This is actually a mimic fan episode that you just...
It's a call for help.
It's a call for help. It's a call for like, hey, look, the mimics are just like not being able to mimic as well anymore. People aren't listening. They're not noticing. They're too busy living their lives to notice the horrors of the woods. And it's just, it's a hard time to be a horror in the woods. Because there's a horror everywhere now.
Yeah. Speaking of stories, we saw one site that had some very specific yet dubious lore.
Dubious.
But we're super skeptical about these stories in particular.
Yes.
So the first one is called The Talking Holler. In McDowell County, there are stories that started in the coal camps that were passed down through generations, which like for a lot of small places, that's kind of how the lore starts, right? How it's born or legends. The miners said that they heard their own names while they were in the mines before there had been accidents. Thinking like Mothman vibes here. They claimed that the voices that they heard had been from Earth spirits that had been disturbed by the mining. Some say that this is reminiscent of old ones' folklore. I guess like that's what we say with like some haunted places too. You know, like when we talk about hotels and they say, oh, it all started when we started refurbishing the place, or like we knocked down a wall, or...
Yeah.
Something silly. And I feel like that might be kind of the same vibe.
Yeah. I feel like that's more like there's spirits who are disturbed versus like the land is somewhat sentient.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next story is the Martha Crenshaw story. In the 1920s, Martha Crenshaw was in eastern Kentucky, where she presumably lived, when she heard her brother calling her from the riverbank. She followed his voice, but she was never seen again. Her neighbors were worried about her, so they went looking for her. They found her clothes folded neatly and placed on the riverbank. In the evening of the same day, her brother said he saw her standing outside his window.
Fucking weird. With siblings, I just feel like if I saw one of my siblings outside my window, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
I'd just flip them off, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, stop being a fucking weirdo.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be like, oh, it's a woodland monster. I would be like, can you not? Like, that's a fucking weird thing to do. I keep my curtains drawn. I wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah. I live in hell. I never want the sun in here.
You would just be like a rotisserie.
Stand outside all you want, but like, you're never going to see inside my house. Neither will the sun.
You'll never see inside my house.
I hate the sun so much. It's so hot here right now. And people are going to be listening to this like while they're freezing because it's snowing everywhere.
It's been so cold here. Like, it's been like painfully cold.
Mm-mm. I wore flip-flops today.
I love that for you.
I just want to feel a little cold. I want to feel something here.
I just want to feel something. So when we're talking about how do you get to a place where it's just like a standard belief that there's something in the woods calling your name and you just ignore it. Like it's just like part of the lore of the area. That just happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That or whistling.
Yeah, it's like not this major event. It's like, we just don't go out there when someone calls our name and we shouldn't be. How do you get to a place where that is an acceptable part of life? And I think that part of it is because a lot of the people who live there have folklore in their background and in their roots that isn't necessarily quite so different. We're not going to get into indigenous types of lore today because a lot of the indigenous lore that people attributed this to, native people don't even talk about. So it's not really appropriate for us to. So therefore, we're purposely not talking about that. But what we are going to talk about is Irish and Scottish settler lore and how some of the things that they brought over with that lore shaped how people think about the mysterious and like what could be there. And it primes you to think like, oh, yeah, you just have somebody calling your name in the woods. They're up to no good. So you don't go out there. Right.
Yeah.
So this lore isn't a direct counterpart, but I feel like it really does lay the foundation for how you could think that there's just something in the woods that's going to steal you away. The first one that we're going to talk about is changelings. In folklore from several cultures, including Celtic, there are stories about children being kidnapped by supernatural creatures, often fairies, and then there's a substitute creature, sometimes a child, sometimes not, left in the baby or child's place. While the lore does vary a bit, depending on the area, the characteristics are pretty similar. So first, there's an ability to shapeshift. They're super fucking hungry, like so much so that it would be hard to acquire enough food for them, whether you're buying it or growing it. It's kind of like eating you out of house at home, like that kind of idea. Like they're just like so hungry that it's a problem.
Oh, no, I may have a problem.
Oh, no. Look, I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going to say it. So this is often happening in more rural areas, right? So it's a situation where this child is kind of becoming a financial burden. So just keep like tuck that in your brain. Okay, obviously. The other part, too, is that the intelligence or behavior is incongruent with the age of the child. So they might be acting developmentally delayed or they might be acting super mature for their age. So it's not matching up with what you would expect.
Yeah.
And the reasons why a child might be switched, if you will, vary. So it could be because you disturbed that creature's home or a secret place. So they're like, fuck you, we'll take your baby. Or it could be that they were like, you were a negligent parent, so we're going to take your baby.
Okay.
Or that child was unbaptized, so they were going to take your baby. Fuck. So one of the things that we found while looking up Scottish and Irish lore was an article written by Kaylee Whalen, and they talk about how changing lore may be used to describe neurodivergence in children. And I thought that was so interesting because I'd never really considered that perspective, right? Neurodivergence spans like many different things that are diagnosable today. But if you're thinking of autism or ADHD, for example, these behaviors are typically very different from neurotypical children. And so if you're trying to figure out why your child doesn't look like a neurotypical child, people would often turn to the supernatural to explain things that were unexplainable.
Yeah.
So Whalen says, quote, folklores and fairy beliefs, such as changelings and fairy kidnappings, perhaps provided a way for parents to understand and console themselves if their child began exhibiting disabilities and or seemed to develop slowly or differently from other children.
Okay, so now this is going to take a pretty big turn.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part about this lore is how people treated their children when they believed them to be changelings. Apparently, these abuses were meant to drive the changeling from their home so that their child would be returned. But that's not what happened.
Yeah, and there's actual, like, historical accounts of this happening. This isn't just folklore of a story. This is, like, people believed the folklore and they acted accordingly.
Yeah, well, a little out there, but yes, yes.
I'm not saying they should have. I'm just saying that this actually did happen.
Yeah, and this is horrific. So what they did to what they thought was a changeling, not their child, is they burned them. They boiled them in certain cases.
Mm-hmm.
Just, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
They poked them with hot irons. They abandoned some of them, or they kicked them out of their home altogether.
Yeah, sometimes they would take them into the woods to abandon them too.
Yeah, that's just so fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in changeling lore, once they were driven out of a human home, they were then ostracized by other fairies because they lived in the human world. So they're like, we don't want you here either.
Now, I did see that sometimes for when it actually was a changeling, sometimes it was like an elderly fairy who was like, take care of me. And like, then they were an elderly fairy that were like, ooh, now I have no one to help take care of me. And I'm infirmed.
But where would the kid be?
Don't know. Living in the fairy world.
They don't want them. They don't like humans.
Apparently not. No.
So there's some holes in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this thinking. Okay. So another is the Pooka, and they're shapeshifters. Their true form is actually unknown. They are known to be mischievous or tricksters, and they mimic a person's voice to fuck with travelers.
What a treat.
Okay, this is fun.
I kind of actually like them. They seem kind of whimsical a little. Not whimsical, but like a funny guy, if you will, because I'm not experiencing it. That's why it's funny to me.
Apparently, one of their favorite hobbies is to appear as a gorgeous black horse to entice a person to go for a ride on them at night.
Wink.
Then they proceed to gallop and just create a generally terrible riding experience. But also, I want to say, if I'm walking along at night, I'm not like, there's a gorgeous horse. I must ride this. I'm like, where's your home, horse?
Yeah, I'm like, that, okay, it's either a wild horse, in which case it does not want to be ridden, or
right.
It's a domesticated horse, which means that presumably it has a person who will miss it.
Also, like, how are these people riding a horse? Have you ever ridden a horse? Like, it's a to-do to get on a horse.
Yeah, but this is like time periods where people were riding horses. This isn't like Tuesday.
But they still had saddles and shit. They weren't just like bareback getting on this horse.
I mean, I think sometimes people were. They're just hopping up.
Well, they were, yes.
Maybe part of their shape-shifting had a saddle. Maybe they were like, I'm going to do it.
Maybe a saddle, but still like getting up giant. I assume it's a giant, gorgeous horse, but like any horse, really. I'm very short, though, so maybe everything seems harder to me. But also, like, Ollie took some riding lessons a few years ago, and just the thought of, like, when I'd walk up to the horse, I'm like, there's absolutely no way I could ever just jump on a horse. Like, they're so tall.
No, we're also, like, one, shorties. But also, I have no reason to be able to propel myself up and onto a horse. I haven't built that skill because I don't need to. But also, like, say you are a creature and you're like, I just don't know how to say this with a straight face. You're like, hey, come ride me. Right? Like, I feel like you would probably, like, stand near a big rock. That's absolutely. So, like, in terms of, like, our horse memes now, we've got evil horses and we've got horses standing next to a rock going, hey, come ride me. Like,
and the ones terrorizing that town.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Wasn't that the evil horses? That's a different horse.
No, those are the galloping ones. They're also the ones that help rob people.
Okay. Evil horses with highwaymen. The ghost horses from Plucky.
Yeah.
And now we've got the Scottish, hey, come ride me. If we do have somebody who listens from Ireland or Scotland that has an accent, please just send us an audio clip of you saying, hey, come ride me. Because I'm telling you right now, I will edit this episode and I will add your voice into that moment. I'm just saying, I will.
But all of that to say, I feel like the average person wouldn't be able to find a random horse, jump on it, and have a terrible riding experience because the riding experience would never be able to happen.
Yes, yes. No, I think that they're standing next to a rock
every time they appear next to a boulder. So if you are near a boulder, that's when the horse will come.
They're committed to enticing you. They're like...
Or a ladder, like a stepladder appears.
Look, they're magic. Maybe part of their structure, their horse structure is like steps.
I think of like a Disney movie where like the horse like grabs a person and like throws them up onto their back.
As a chunky person, I just can't envision that. I feel like it would go to do it. It would like slap itself in the face with my body. It would be very mad. And then it would shapeshift into like a bat and it would go bat and then it would fly away. I thought you'd appreciate that.
That show.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. That's a lot of tangent for the silly moment. But
OK, so pukas, that's staying in, though. But they're enticing you to ride, assuming
the boulder's there.
Yeah, they're making it possible for you to get up onto them so that they can entice you for a midnight ride.
And you know how they do that? Is they bewitch people.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves them with hazy memories after of their terrible ride.
There's also somewhere that perhaps they might have a preference for drunk people so that, like, they're extra confused in the morning. They're like, my body hurts. I am far away. Where did that horse come from? How did I get up onto that horse?
My cousin last year had her bachelorette party here.
Did she have a shape-shifting horse?
And, you know, cowboy town. There's a lot of horse statues downtown or in Old Town Scottsdale.
Of course.
And watching the drunk girls try to get on these horses that they weren't supposed to go near.
Oh, no.
Was probably the funniest moment of last year.
Yeah, that feels fair.
And so I can't even imagine if... random horse were to walk up to them. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way. They couldn't even get on the fake horse.
Because it didn't want them to.
Anyways, it didn't want them to. It didn't bewitch them enough. Mm-hmm. But back to this. Pukas can sometimes be wonderful, particularly to farmers. They'll help protect their crops, give them little gifts. They even intervene before terrible accidents so no one gets hurt. Historically, farmers would leave offerings to the puka and fairies around Samhain to entice them not to be assholes. This sounds like the lore that we talked about a while back from Mexico, after our Mexico trip.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Pukas are thought to live near rural areas and are typically encountered in Ireland. So if you come across a horse randomly while drunk, perhaps it's not a horse at all.
Yeah, like perhaps don't. If you weren't planning on riding a horse at the start of your drinking, you shouldn't join a horse afterwards.
When it comes to pick you up near the boulder.
Like when your lift horse shows up, you should be like, maybe that's how they entice people in modern times. They have like a little lift sign, like a little neon lift sign.
Perfect. So another story that was brought over from Scotland and Ireland and all of that into this area was the story of bogies. And we've actually talked about them before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what episode, but forever ago we did.
I think it was Halloween myths. I think it was an early one.
Yeah, yeah. They're usually evil or mischievous spirits, and they're akin to the boogeyman. And I think we talked about how, like, the name change happened.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of people's minds, right, these stories are being shared with them, and there's weird stuff happening, so it must be one of these.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when you are used to attributing the unknown to supernatural, it's not altogether surprising to think that you might continue to do that, or that you might teach your children or your children shouldn't do that.
Right. And now another story was the story of fetches.
I love these. This is, I think, so fascinating.
It is. It is. And it's not really clear why the name fetch stuck with these entities, but some believe it's because they may fetch souls. A little terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what a fetch is it's a double of a person that looks uncannily similar. Some say that they appear to not have any emotion, though. So interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'd be like, are you mad at me? Like
all the time.
Like if somebody like showed up and was just like completely neutral and that's not how they normally were, I'd be like, are you mad at me? And they'd be like, no. And I'm like, OK, but you're not acting like yourself. And they'd be like, OK, but like I'm like, no, but like, are you mad at me? Like they'd be like, I'm here to like tell you that something's going to happen. And you're like, no, but are you mad at me right now?
Right. They're like, I give up. And they leave.
Yeah. They're like, you know what? Fuck off.
You give up. Useless. But I just think of like some of the people that I know that are emotionless. And I'm like, huh, this explains a lot. So typically you're seeing a double of someone else, not yourself. However, it is believed that a person that the fetch looks like and you see them, it's kind of like a hint that they're going to die. Just terrifying.
Yeah.
But it does sound like a doppelganger,
mm-hmm.
like a whole doppelganger situation. typically it's like a what were you doing here kind of situation. Like you see a person who should be somewhere else entirely. Maybe they don't live in the same state or they should be somewhere else. And you're like, wait, but why are you here with no emotion? Are you mad at me?
Yeah. Are you mad at me right now? Like, is that why you came back? Like, I just dropped you off somewhere. Are you back here because you're mad at me?
Yeah, exactly. In some instances, the third party viewer will attempt to follow the spectral double only to have it disappear after it turns down a hallway or an alley or, you know, something. Now, the third party viewer may also get some sort of hint as to how the other person may die. So like what they're doing maybe or where they're seen. Kind of scary. There's also a weird little wrinkle. If you see the fetch in the morning, then the person will live a long life. And it's just a hint at how they may eventually die. However, if it's seen at night, then their death is imminent. Like it's going to happen pretty soon.
Yeah.
So just don't go out at night ever.
Yeah.
Don't talk to people at night ever. And you'll be fine.
Well, no, your loved ones will be fine. Then you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also like a harbinger of something bad, though, right? So like you see this, then something bad happens.
Exactly. Now, it doesn't seem like this is a geographically rooted phenomena, but this particular folklore has Irish and Scottish roots. So there's a reason to think it would be in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is an instance of someone possibly seeing a fetch that we did read. However, it was very difficult because it was very 1705-esque.
Yeah, they had like... 3 times as many words as they needed to have at every given moment. And so
this is what we got from it, though.
So it's a relation of the apparition of Mrs. Veal. And I'm going to start with some background. This story was written in a pamphlet about events that took place on September 8th of 1705. And it was published anonymously, but it's believed to have been written by Daniel Defoe, who is like a famous author. We're not reading it from here because, frankly, this would be 17,000 hours long. And the way that it's worded, this the cadence, we'd never get through editing. We simply never would.
Nope.
But anyway, so the experience was recounted to the author by Mrs. Bargrave. And the author takes a good bit of time to talk about how he truly believes her story. And he vouches for her overall character. Like he's known her for years. She isn't a person who just makes things up. Like it would be strange for her to do that. And like she's talking about somebody who she knows. And she does so with the person's family. So like it would be very bizarre for her to just suddenly be a person who starts lying about this. Right. So anywho, on September 8th of 1705, just after noon, Mrs. Bargrave, who I'm going to call Bargrave because I'm going to say her name so much that I just don't feel like saying Mrs. Bargrave every single freaking time. So Mrs. Bargrave, had just finished pondering about life and sewing when she heard a knock at her door. When she answered the door, she saw her friend, who she hadn't seen for at least 2 years, Mrs. Veal, who was wearing a striped gown. We're going to call her Veal. Bargrave was surprised and said, "I'm surprised to see you. You have been too long a stranger." And then Bargrave leaned in to give her a kiss. When I read that, I was like, oh, she's going to give her like a little kiss on the cheek. That's not a thing I do when I see friends, but like, you know, go off a different time, a different period. But no, I was wrong because it says, quote, Mrs. Veal complied till their lips almost touched. And I wrote in her outline, went, just gals being pals.
Just like our first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Like our like a mouth kiss to a friend feels intimate, especially if I haven't seen him for years, but like
haven't seen you in 2 years.
Yeah, like I just feel like maybe we don't do mouth kisses for friends. That's just me though, unless they're like a friend.
But in 1705, that was
in 1705, gals kiss their pals on the mouth. Anywho, so Veals is like about to get kissed in the mouth, and she's like, never mind. And she says, quote, no thanks, I'm not doing so well.
She's like, I got a cold and I don't want you to get this.
Yeah. Veal's like, I'm not doing so well, so no thanks, pass. And like Bargrave is like, okay, whatever. Continues on. So Veal goes on to tell Bargrave that she wanted to just stop by and visit with her because Veal was like about to go on a journey. Okay.
Okay.
I guess that's nice. But like she didn't live in that area. That's an important note to just keep in mind.
Right. It's been 2 years.
Like, it's been 2 years. I'm about to go on a journey. Just wanted to stop by and say hi, girly. This is weird, but okay. You know what I mean? Like, they're mouth-kissing friends. Who knows what they do? So, Bargrave was surprised that Veal was going to travel by herself because she was so close with her brother. That gave me a weird feeling. I don't know why. I think it's also just like the idea of a woman traveling by herself in 1705 sounds like a strange thing. Love a solo vacation, but apparently 1705, that wasn't happening. You went with your brother, I guess. So
yeah.
Veal then told Bargrave that she gave her brother the slip. Like, she literally said, though, quote, I gave my brother the slip, which I just didn't realize that was that old of a saying. Like,
well, also, like, were they traveling together and then dead of night, she just left and she's like, you know where I'm going?
I think she left her house, presumably. They then had a lovely chat. They talked about their friendship because they'd been friends for years, the comfort of religion in their life. And then they talked about all the books that they had read together about death.
Okay.
As one does. As pals often do.
Right? What else do pals do?
Yeah. And then they talked about a particular author. And Veals, like, made a remark about how that particular author and their theories about death were right. She goes on to be like, I will love you forever. A big fan of telling your friends I love you, if you do. You know what I mean? So, okay, sweet. Love it. And so then Veals is like, I've got a little bit of gossip. So tells Bargrave this gossip. And it's something that very few people know. And there's no reason that, like, Bargrave would know outside of Veal telling her. Because it's, like, about somebody who she doesn't even know. But she's like, do you want to hear some gossip about somebody you don't know? And they're like, sure. So then Veals is like, hey, can you just, like, write my brother a letter? And Bargrave's like, girlie, you can write this. And Veal's like, no, thanks. And then Bargrave's like, okay, I'll go get a pen. And then Veal is like, oh, but could, like, you wait till I leave? And Bargrave's is like, weird, but okay.
That's exactly how it was written in 1705 speak.
That's exactly how it was written. Yeah, like, obviously she wrote girly.
Yeah.
But so in this letter, Veal wanted Bargrave to tell Veal's brother that she had two rings and a purse of gold in her cabinet. This just feels like a red flag to me. Nowadays, if someone's like, hey, here's where my possessions are, we get worried, right?
Yeah.
So they chat for a little bit longer, and then Veals is like, is your daughter home? Bargrave is like, no, she's at the neighbor's. Should I go get her so you can see her? And Veals is like, yeah, I would love that. So Bargrave goes, gets her daughter. She's like about to come back into the house when she sees that Veal is outside, and she's staring at the market. She's like, okay, that's weird.
She loves markets.
She fucking loves a market, which honestly, same. So Bargrave is like, why are you in, like, such a rush? And Veal's like, I gotta get on the get. So she's like, okay, I mean, weird. You just told me to go get my kid, but whatever. So then Veal's is like, I'm gonna be staying at my cousin's if you wanna, like, visit while I'm here. And her cousins are the Watsons. So Veal's is like, toodles. Bargrave is like, see you later. Watches her walk down the street and turn a corner. This is at, like, 1:45 p.m. by now. So a couple days later, Bargrave sends her maid to see if Veal's is at the Watson house. So the Watsons are like, she's not here. And the maid's like, hey, they told me that she's not there and they don't expect her to be. And Bargrave was like, this is a blunder. I'll go look myself. She does say the word blunder, hence why I'm using it here. Bargrave is like, is Veals here? And they're like, no, she's not here. She's not in town, because if she was, she'd be here. She would have visited. And Bargrave is like, what are you talking about? We hung out for like 2 hours on Saturday. And then Captain Watson walks in and is like, oh, she's dead.
Casually. I imagine him, like, coming home in his, like, captain outfit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Captain of what? We don't know.
I don't know. But he's in the captain outfit. You get to decide what kind of captain.
Yeah, that's up to you. Crunch, perhaps?
And he just opens the door at that moment when she's like, wait, we were just visiting. And he just opens it. And he's like,
she dead.
She's dead. And then the music plays. And it zooms in on her face.
So I hope you imagine Captain Crunch being like, she's dead.
And then the music plays and it just zooms in on her face as she realizes.
Yeah. So it turns out that Veals had died right around noon on Saturday, you know, when she visited Bargrave. So that is Bargrave's like, this is super weird, but, like, she was wearing a striped dress and she told me this gossip. And Mrs. Watson was like, a striped dress, you say? That is interesting, because I was there when she had that dress made and only her and I knew about this dress.
She never wore it in public, ever. She got it made.
She just hadn't gotten a chance to wear it.
And the seamstress died, so no one knows.
I don't know. Yeah, no one knows. So Mrs. Watson is like, that's weird. How do you know about this dress? And then this piece of gossip is, like, only known by the person who it's about and Veal. And, like, so how would Bargrave know? So then Veals' brother was like, you're a liar. And Bargraves is like, I am not lying. Why would I lie? But Mrs. Watson is like, Bargraves is telling the truth. And so, like, she goes on, like, a tour of the neighborhood and is like, let me tell you about this. And like, she's louder about it than Bargraves is. She's like, not only did she see her, but like, it is true. This is why it's true. Like, she was like her height, fat gal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I love that for you. But like, especially because of that dress, because she's like, I literally was there when she had that dress made and I know she didn't wear it anywhere else. So it's super weird that you would know about that.
I have so many questions, but in 1705 speak, it's very hard to get them answered. But I want to know exactly where Veals lived compared to where she thought she was staying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how often did they see each other?
Also, an important note, the reason that Bargraves hadn't seen Veals isn't because they were necessarily like geographically far. They didn't really say why, but Bargraves was like, oh, I think it was because like she was like in a higher class than I was and that she just didn't want to hang out with me because of it. So I think that it was like even more meaningful to her that she like came and visited her because she came to visit her home, right? As opposed to being like, come see me in a nicer place.
Yeah. I came for the mouth kiss.
And she came straight for that mouth kiss. I like how she's like, I haven't seen you in 2 years and I think that you think you're better than me, but I'm going to kiss you on your fucking mouth.
And she thought about it and then she was like, never mind.
Yeah, Veal was like, ooh, can't because I'm dead. But wild. What a ride.
Can't because I'm dead.
It's a good reason not to kiss somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can only do so much.
I mean, she did say she's not well. I mean, she wasn't lying, I guess.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Nowadays, I'm like, you're not well. Why are you in my house?
Right? Ew.
Not with like a terminal illness, but like you've got a cold. Please don't come into my home with a cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Now, these stories like this, we've heard several times before and we've talked about it where people see someone and then like the twist is actually they just died. They were in the hospital and they just died. I think we had a listener story like that too. Like,
yeah,
it's super common.
I didn't know there was a name for that. And it's a fetch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, interesting. Because like sometimes you'll just see them, but like sometimes you'll really interact with them. How would Bargrave know that she had two rings and a purse of gold in her cabinet?
Right.
Unless she was stalking her.
Well, a lot of the time, like in modern stories, it's like in their dreams. Like they fall asleep and like see that person.
Yes. Yes. Hmm.
But interesting. I wonder if now the fetches just have infiltrated our sleeping brain.
Infiltrated.
Yeah.
I just like that phrase.
Like a loved one. Yeah, it's so that they can avoid the mouth kiss.
You gotta do what you gotta do to avoid a mouth kiss.
Now, this is an example of a fetch. And also, quite interestingly, this is considered to be the first modern ghost story.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because to me, I'm like, this feels more ghost story than fetch because presumably I thought that like a fetch would be that person's still alive, but maybe they were still alive, right? Like maybe this is just like a fetch could be an echo of that person. We're saying a spectral double. That could still be you. It doesn't necessarily mean it's like a different entity.
Right.
It can be like a sliver of you of some sort, if you will.
Right, right. That's what I was going to say is like it seems like we're giving a name to a type of spirit that someone may encounter rather than a whole like different being, I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, another example of a fetch is from a 16th century poet, John Donne. And he was in Paris when he saw an apparition of his wife holding a newborn baby. Soon after, he found out that his wife had given birth to the stillborn child at the same time that he had seen the apparition. That's sad.
That's so sad.
Now, moving on to talk about theories.
Our favorite part.
Our favorite part always.
This was also my favorite research for theories that we've ever done because it literally blew my mind. I have a massive dry erase board that was found in a dumpster dive that I will be bringing in to show Amanda that we're going to put in the outro of like what I realized through this research that changed my life. What a time.
I love that. I too have a giant whiteboard that I use for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can do whiteboard games.
I love that.
At the end of our
perfect
episodes. So yeah, let's talk about theories. Like what could mimics be? What do people think they might be? Now, some believe that it's just an auditory or verbal hallucination. Per the American Psychological Association, they define an auditory or verbal hallucination as the perception of a sound in the absence of an auditory stimulus. About 75% of people with schizophrenia experience verbal hallucinations. People with PTSD, bipolar, depression, and anxiety also can experience them. It's unclear what causes verbal hallucinations. But remember, our brains are weird, and we don't know half of what it can do or why.
Yeah.
Also, don't you kind of hear someone say your name accidentally pretty often?
I do.
We have a relatively low threshold for hearing our own name, so people tend to misinterpret ambiguous sounds as someone saying their name. It's possible a person is hearing a subliminal sound.
So like think like white noise, background noise, and even sounds of the forest you might be hearing like what's occurring. But I just feel like that feels like far-fetched for maybe for a verbal hallucination generally. But for this particular situation, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty like it's dramatic. And if you're hearing it over and over and over again, like in a loop, I feel like that's a little different.
Yes.
Now, another theory is that it's auditory pareidolia. And we talked about pareidolia quite a bit in our ghost episode forever ago.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was an interesting callback.
So auditory pareidolia is the phenomenon of when a person hears intelligible voices or noises when there's only background noise or sounds. So when we say background noise, think of things like a fan or running water or washing machines, sounds of the forest, whatever it may be. And this is different from auditory hallucinations because in auditory pareidolia, there's no external stimulus, aka the background noise. So like my house, our background noise of my house is our turtle tank. You can hear it from almost anywhere, the running water for it.
Yeah.
And like when it's off, it seems so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't heard anything within the noise of the turtle tank, luckily. Auditory pareidolia occurs because our brain is trying to discern patterns from the stimulus, and it picks up on some of those sounds. And it's not as studied as visual pareidolia is. Remember, we said, like, here's a few tests that they did. There's not so much on it.
Yeah.
Although it would be, I think, a bit harder, too.
We're going to talk about it in just a second, but hallucinations are really hard to study generally.
Yeah.
And pareidolia is kind of like adjacent, if you will. So for a moment, let's talk about stimulus-independent perception, which is perceptions that are not associated with a person's sensory environment. So think about hallucinations, dreams, imagery, aka kind of like visualization, like when you imagine what your room looks like or imagine what a song sounds like and you can kind of hear it playing in your head, but it's on purpose. Daydreams or fantasies where your mind kind of wanders. You haven't decided to think about XYZ. It's just kind of like your mind just goes in a direction on its own.
Yeah.
And the key to all of those experiences is that there is no current sensory perception that triggers it.
Okay.
Never in my life have I put hallucinations with dreams, visualization, and like daydreams. I never considered them on the same wavelength.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
So when considering the difference between what makes something a hallucination versus another type of stimulus-independent perception, aka dreams, visualization, daydreams, there's a few different ways that we're going to differentiate them. The first is that it's the effect on the person with the perception. Typically, it's bigger. It's not something that you intended to do if it's a hallucination. So it's going to feel often more negative. There's more kind of like a negative tone to it. The ability to discern whether something is created by the brain versus whether it's something we're experiencing, right? If it's a hallucination, you don't know that it's not real.
Yeah.
State of consciousness, obviously, if you're dreaming, you're asleep. Whether the perception was purposeful or not. Because again, when you're daydreaming or when you're visualizing or trying to remember a song or something like that, those are purposeful things that you can start and stop. You're not necessarily at the whims of it. You're in the driver's seat. And then one of the things that we saw was, quote, hallucinations may be explained as supernatural realities and interpreted as symbolic and meaningful within a person's own cultural background and historical narrative. So when you think about that, the idea of a hallucination generally and broadly is that it is not real. And we are agreeing that it is not real because not everyone is experiencing that sensory data. So think a person who is seeing some type of ghost, right?
Yeah.
Some person's visions of a ghost to another person is a hallucination. And how we view what is a hallucination versus what is something else is based on our own biases.
That's true. Yeah.
And our own cultural perspectives. I think we've talked about this before, about the idea that there was a time when someone said, oh, I talked to God.
Yeah.
Where people were like, that person talked to God. And today they're like, oh, that person has XYZ diagnosis.
Right.
They're hallucinating. That couldn't possibly be happening. Oh, this person's like, you're a medium. no, that's something that's diagnosable. That's pathological because we have determined it is. And when we talked about that list in the beginning, right? Anxiety, depression, PTSD, bipolar, those are psychiatric diagnoses that could exist in and of themselves or in concurrence with the ability to see or talk to someone, something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a big believer in that. But even if you're not, it's not unreasonable to think that we don't fucking know everything. Because as humans, everything we know is from us is because we've studied it and we believed something else until we learned more.
Yeah, for sure. And that's interesting, yeah, to think about that perhaps it's not like a, I don't know, it's not wrong, like, to see something or to, it's just like, I have heard you're viewing like a different dimension or like, you know, like there's other weird things that it could be.
We just don't know. And so another kind of like wrinkle in this, it's not stimulus independent perception, but it's darn close, is distortions. There is sensory output, but you're coding it differently. So think you're looking at the sky and you see purple, like a purple sky, not a blue sky. Not that you don't understand what the color blue is, but that like you literally are seeing a purple sky. Interesting.
Right. Well, some people do see colors differently.
But seeing colors differently isn't a distortion because that's their baseline. So I'm saying you go outside, six people next to you see a blue sky, normal, but you see a purple sky. Mm-hmm. That's the distortion.
Yeah.
When we're thinking of like cognitive distortions, it's when often like when you something is occurring and you're like your perception of it is skewed.
Yeah.
Some people have a more vivid perception of color, which that will dovetail so nicely into my mind-blowing conversation for after the episode of just like the ability to see things more clearly.
Yes. Yeah.
So follow me here. We're talking about our mimics.
Yeah.
And what's happening when people are experiencing mimics? Is it that there's something in the woods? Are they hallucinating?
Yeah. What could it be?
Yes. No. We don't know. Neuroimaging studies have shown that our brains react the same to real stimuli and sensory independent stimuli.
I think that's fair, though.
So whether you are hearing it, seeing it, feeling it, or it is occurring without the perception, your brain processes it the same way. So if you're processing a visualization, you're using your visual cortex.
Yeah.
Same thing for sound. Your brain's going to interpret it in the same way because that's how it interprets sensory data. So regardless of the reality of it, the experience for the person is the same. So whether or not you are actually hearing that thing, the distress is real, right? So like that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. The fear.
That perception, all of that, very real. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it earlier that hallucinations are really hard to study and it's hard to figure out what the basis is between a hallucination and a different type of stimuli-independent perception. One, again, based on the cultural context of what's going on, but also the measurement of these perceptions are self-reported. So it's really hard to measure them because it's inherently done by the person who is reporting it, and it relies on a person volunteering to do that study. It relies on the person being honest about what they're seeing and knowing that it is a hallucination theoretically, because that's how you know you to be in the study.
Yeah.
It's also that you can't really predict when a hallucinatory episode will occur. There have been studies done where people will they'll do like white noise and stuff like that. And they'll be like, oh, did you hear a voice?
Mm-hmm.
There's things like that occur. But like true, like, I believe this is occurring hallucinations. You can't necessarily automatically trigger that, which I find so fascinating. And so the like continuum of hallucination versus like inner thoughts and inner visualizations, the overlap of that, and even like, so if you're thinking like hallucination could be a verbal hallucination, for example, it could be auditory, like you're hearing a voice. I have an inner dialogue. Do you have an inner dialogue?
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. And some people don't.
And people's inner dialogues vary. Sometimes it's their own voice. Sometimes it's a different voice. Sometimes it's a voice, but they can't really like place the sound of it.
Yeah.
Where is the line between inner dialogue and hallucination? And those are pretty similar to our other stimulus independent perceptions. It's you can tell the difference because the inner voice, an inner voice is typically one, predictable. How you talk to yourself is kind of how you talk to yourself. But often yeah. A verbal hallucination that when people experience them, they're typically more critical, more judgmental, meaner. The cadence is often also different. So an inner dialogue is kind of more rich. It kind of flows in sentences and a cadence that's predictable.
Yeah.
versus a verbal hallucination is more staccato. And it's going to be like one or two words at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned this earlier, too, but the degree to which it interferes with your life. If your inner dialogue is something you're used to, it's not going to interfere with your life because that's your brain's default.
Right.
But if this is a new voice, you're likely going to be a little concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
As we're talking about this, it's no surprise where we're going to head next in terms of like, what the fuck could this be? This sound that you're hearing.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about this stimuli-independent perception that can exist when you visualize, that can exist when you dream, that can exist when your mind wanders and you start to daydream about how delicious it would be to dip French fries in a McFlurry. All of these things are things that your brain can do. And some people that believe that our brains can do more, like clairvoyance and the different types of that. And one of the mm-hmm. types of clairvoyance, it's actually like clairvoyance is viewing, but to hear is clairaudience. And that is a type of extrasensory perception, aka ESP, which like, again, so fascinated. I kind of want to do a full episode on it later. But per Britannica, ESP is any perception that occurs independently of known sensory processes. So that would mean that it is a stimuli-independent perception.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when someone hears something that is not present in the physical world. And basically any sound that you can hear, people who have clairaudience or who experience clairaudience have reported experiencing that. I've seen stories where people will hear humming, clocks ticking, words, songs. Some people, their clairaudience really just comes through in songs. They will suddenly get a song in their head that they haven't heard in years, and they'll be able to like pin it to something that's going on in their life. And with what to me feels like regularity. If you can pick up on the symbolism of a song and you can go like, oh, I hear we didn't start the fire. Maybe I should be worried about a fire. And then you go into your living room and your candle's like burning your curtain. You could probably say 1 + 1 = 2 there. That kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There's people who experience that. But what I find really fascinating is clairaudience. It is some type of communication. And I haven't seen many instances where people are talking about it being negative. It's typically a warning or a message coming through. And I think about like we talked about in the situation earlier with the minors, but like someone saying your name to get your attention before something's going to happen. You ever like zone out and somebody who you know is like, Amanda. And you're like, oh, shit, I was about to like chop my finger.
Yeah.
And it could be that it's someone bringing you back into the present. Actually, they're calling you from the woods to be like, hey, you are literally about to like chop your foot off because you're holding an axe funny, or you're about to slip. You're about to walk into a hole. You're about to trip over a rock, and you don't remember that other thing because you're too busy hearing the voice in the woods and you're freaked out. What if it was that?
That's interesting. Yeah. And what? Some people also say that it's like their guide or like, you know, their spirit friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because it's like most people know what their own inner dialogue sounds like. And how would you respond if something completely different just popped into your head? If you have other overlying symptoms, perhaps you do look and see like, okay, is this psychiatric? But if you've got literally nothing else, I don't think it makes sense to necessarily jump to, oh, perhaps my brain is broken. I think it's perhaps my brain has a really big antenna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anywho, welcome to clairaudience. I didn't know that was a type that was very specific until like a few months ago.
I mean, I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, I put it all under clairvoyance. I didn't know that they had like special types.
Exactly.
There's a whole bunch of different ones. But I like, again, I think that'll be a fun episode.
For sure. Now, back to other theories.
Mm-hmm.
Hallucinogens is a possibility, but I feel like lumping all these people that have experienced this into this category doesn't really truly make any sense. But
yeah, I think some of them could be.
Some of them, for sure. So it could be a possibility that a person may have ingested a hallucinogen. But again, that's very unlikely because they would probably experience a lot more than just their name being said in the woods.
Yeah. Probably.
Also, a lot of people accidentally or not knowingly having hallucinogens. It can happen. We've talked about weird experiments and stuff, but like probably unlikely. I hope it's unlikely.
I would also say that if you're a person who lives in this area, grew up in this area, you know to not just start picking shit up out of the woods and eating it.
That's true.
You aren't going to like accidentally stumble across this. And a lot of the stories are from people who live there, not just people who are visiting.
Exactly. But some of the common hallucinogens found in Appalachia are Jimson weed, which is lovely, by the way.
Yes.
It looks kind of like a weed just because based off of what the leaves look like.
Mm-hmm.
But the flowers are very pretty.
Yeah, I think that they actually look like if a pinwheel and a purple and white pansy had a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty. But anyways, if they had accidentally had that, I guess.
Picked up this beautiful flower and ate it. So it's kind of strange.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. Or perhaps it's psilocybin mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, probably not going to just pick up random mushrooms.
Probably not. Hopefully not.
We have told stories of that, though, whereas they fed it to their family, but...
That was in our mushrooms episode. Love that episode. A fun time.
Yeah. And relatives of fly agaric, which we've also talked about a bunch in our mushroom episodes. But again, unlikely. All these people are like, I'm going to go eat something weird in the woods. Oh my gosh, I hear my name.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to be like quiet about it because you're like, I made a dumb decision.
Right. Or you're going to go get lost in the woods.
Yeah.
Another theory is perhaps the land itself is speaking back. And given the prevalence of supernatural occurrences, some wonder if the land is speaking to people to lure them in. That reminds me of the movie The Happening, which I haven't even thought about. It came out in 2008, it looks like, but that's an interesting movie where there's a pretty good twist if you haven't seen it. I had to look it up because I have not seen it in 100 years. But that could be. It also kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you remember that article that went viral a while back about how plants can scream and we just don't hear it. And like their root systems can talk to one another. So like it's entirely possible, I guess. Although the studies show that we can't hear it, but maybe there's something that changes that makes it so we can't.
That just fucks me up. The idea of plants screaming all the time. I just block that information out of my head. Categorically, I'm like, heard it. And then I just take the file and throw it out of my brain because there's only so many things that I can worry about. And that I just, I'm sorry, plants. I'm doing my best here.
I don't even want to like cut my plants. I'm like, I don't want to hurt them.
Cutting off an arm.
Yeah, like I have a giant, what is the kind? I don't remember what kind it's called, but I have like a big indoor plant growing and like it's out of control. It's like taking over
out of control.
My dining room. Yeah, it's going to take over the house soon, but I'm like, I don't want to hurt it.
Yeah.
But maybe it's somehow getting through to us in some weird way. And that's what you're hearing?
Yeah, yeah.
Another theory is talking ravens. Obviously.
Obviously.
When parrots parody someone, there's like a robotic cadence to their repetition, right?
Yeah, like they don't sound like a human.
They don't. They don't. Now, ravens are as intelligent as apes, which I knew they were super smart, but I didn't know that.
I didn't know they were that smart.
If you've watched The Hunger Games, clearly you know, they can repeat songs, right? Birds can repeat songs. And they also, ravens specifically, can mimic or repeat chirps of other birds.
Mm-hmm.
They could be like, oh, you like this kind of bird? I'm going to do that because then you're going to feed me. That's true, though. Like some people are like, oh, I want to feed. I don't know much about birds, I guess, but I want to feed this type of bird. And they're like, hey, they're outside your house. I hear them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go put them out, put like the bird seed out.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of that before. But ravens can also mimic human voices to an alarming degree.
It fucked me up.
Now, we did find a video of one talking, and it's a little unsettling. We'll share it, but it's unsettling. I've seen other types of birds, too, like actual parrots. I know they are a little robotic, but some of them do get really good at like barking like your dog or meowing like your cat or asking for things. Even our zoo here, which this is kind of similar, I guess, there's rows of various types of birds, parrots, any kind of bird you can think of, right, that can survive in Arizona. But they're in rows of birds and various, like, there's monkeys and whatever, right? But you will think that there's going to be, like, people in the next aisle and you're expecting to see people, but there's no one there. And it's because the birds are yelling and talking to each other and mimicking people.
I don't like that. That fucked me up.
They're like, hi, 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 hi.
Ooh, ooh.
You're pretty. You're pretty. Like they yell. And it's funny because 1 year when we went, they were just going off and they were all just yelling at each other.
Huh.
But talking like people. And it was, I mean, it was funny to see. I think I have to look. I have a video, I believe. But
in like a zoo where there's lots of animals
and
lots of people,
it's
expected.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the woods, like if I just hear birds start talking, I'm going to leave the woods.
Exactly. Exactly.
If I hear talking from up in the trees, I'm going to leave the woods. My threshold for what's going to make me leave the woods is very low.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We've seen the Blair Witch.
We've seen it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for our theories, we've got the land itself is talking back in some way.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a hallucination, or alternatively, another type of sensory independent stimuli, which could be either daydreams, it could be you thinking about it, clairaudience.
Another part of your brain being activated somehow.
And talking birds.
And talking birds.
Talking birds.
So what do you think? What do you think this is?
I think that it is all of the things at once. Every single thing is different and that we don't know unless we know that situation. I think there's probably times when it is talking birds. I think it's probably times when people thought they heard something, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes it just might be somebody else in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think each situation mm-hmm. probably falls into some of the categories and maybe even some that haven't been explored yet. But
yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Or cryptid.
Yep. Or cryptid, you know, or it's mimics, you know, mimics, baby. Like, there's no reason why there couldn't also just be a separate independent creature that's out there being an absolute fucking creep in the woods.
For sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners, have you thought about stimuli independent perceptions in that way before? Because it's so different.
So different. Also, again, listen after the credits. We're going to have our bloopers, our tangents, and my big draw, my big board about stimuli independent. Unedited, though. Like, you can only ask us to edit so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's real, undiluted.
Also, for those that have left us reviews, we thank you so much. And for those that have done it recently, because we've had a couple, please send us a screenshot of your review and your information. We'd love to send you a sticker as a thank you. Or anyone that's considering leaving us a review, same thing. We have some cute stickers.
Yeah. And it helps people find us and all the things. So
it does. It does. It pleases the algorithm.
We really appreciate it. It also just makes our day, too. Just to, if you need another reason. Every time we see a new one, whoever sees it first sends it to the other person. We're like,
yeah, yeah.
It matters.
It really does. It truly does. And also, thank you so much to our patrons. We love all of you. And also being understanding of us not being here for a little bit. We love you.
Yeah, we love you. We appreciate you. I had life hit me like a fucking Mack truck last year. And so we had to abruptly end our 2025 episodes. And all of our patrons were like, really great about that because, you know, people are supporting us to make a show. And sometimes life hits and we have to, you know, pivot a bit and our priorities change. And it was really, really great for everybody was kind and warm and not at all like, well, but I want you to do this thing.
Yes. Yeah. No one was that.
And I was like, thank you, because I literally can't do another thing right now.
Yeah. No, they were all so great. And we do have a lot of fun tiers. Mm-hmm. So if you are considering being a patron, we do have some that start at just $1 that get you access to our Discord, which we've been in for the last couple months, too. We've been chatting.
Oh, yeah. No new episodes doesn't mean no true creepsing. It just means that we don't necessarily have the bandwidth to be able to research, record, edit, and post an episode. Because that's like a 20-hour endeavor, minimum.
Minimum. Yeah. But yeah, thank you to our patrons. If you're considering joining our Patreon, we have a bunch of tiers starting at $1 that include some fun stuff. So check it out. All of our links are in all of our social media at the end of our episode everywhere. But there's some fun stuff. And I mean, we're already thinking about what we're going to do for our fun stuff this year, too, because last year we had some fun Patreon nights. I think they were fun. Everyone was dying. It was it was hilarious. We can't wait to hang out with everyone again, too.
And with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening, and as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh.
Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.
Amanda, are you ready to have your mind blown?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, so I am like elbows deep in hallucination and like sensory perception stimuli research, right? When I'm reading this.
Okay.
And you ever like have a bunch of information that you're taking in at once and then just like something big clicks,
Yes.
Don't mind how my office looks right now. I'm going to unblur my background. Oh, actually, I'm going to turn my camera off altogether.
All I see is Patty.
But yeah, because that's my Patty is my Discord like photo for True Creeps, which is where we record. Like we record inside that Discord on a voice channel that only we can be in. Anyway, OK, me just chatting. OK, this is a messy office. It's backwards, of course, so you can't necessarily read it. But
no, it flips it for me.
Look, I told you this is unedited, and that means that I'm also going to be facing this thing because it's massive. So if my voice sounds weird, it's because I'm turning around and moving all about the cabin, if you will. Okay, so this isn't spooky, but it is scary how much it blew my mind. First off, can you see this fucking like murder board, how insane this looks?
Right now, you know that meme where he
has like the pins?
The drawings?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's me right
now. That's Lindsay right now.
Okay, so follow me on this journey. Look,
okay,
I might be wrong about this. I don't think I am, because I'm not a neuroscientist, so I'm not going to act like I am.
But you could be.
But if I'm wrong, and this still like spurs me to make really good decisions about like my body and my physical health, don't tell me I'm wrong. Let's just ride with like me being a little bit wrong on something that does not hurt me and makes me do wonderful things and prioritize and like treat my body like I'm a lovely goddess. Anywho, we're going to go out of the mic stand.
Oh, she's holding the mic. Oh, we're getting crazy. I don't think I've ever held my mic.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably a bad idea generally. What's this audio going to be like? Who could say? Okay, so it's like generally common knowledge, right? That the ability to visualize and imagine a goal and outcome increases your success rate. If you can see what it looks like to succeed, you will do better. So if we know that visual stimuli and imagined visual stimuli are both processed in the visual cortex, we know that's just like an example that real sensory data and imagined sensory data are processed in the same way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you see, you imagine you see or hear equals you see and hear. So you imagine a nasty conversation with somebody. You plan out what you're going to say. Your brain thinks it's happening. First off,
yeah.
That fucks you.
And you get the stress.
And you get the stress. So when you think that you're being kind to yourself and imagining every scenario so you don't have to be anxious, you're actually doing the nasty scenario to yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there are times and situations where one's brain does that involuntarily. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like when you've like made a decision, you're like, OK, I'm going to think through every scenario.
Yep.
Your brain's like, they're all happening. This is terrible. OK.
Yeah.
So and again, am I wrong? Maybe. I don't think I am. But if I am, I'm still going to like try to be nicer to my brain. So like, let's just go with it, babies. OK, so you imagine you see in here equals you actually see in here. Now, if the difference between imagined and actual stimuli occurring is separate processes, it means your brain doesn't know. So if you are imagining what it feels like to be burned and you're feeling burned, same thing, right? But the way that you know it's actually happening is because you have a fucking blister. You get an infection from the burn. Or you're imagining what something tastes like. You're actually tasting it. You're going to digest it, etc.
Yeah.
You're imagining a very loud song versus like you're hearing a very loud song. Your ears are going to hurt. You're following me. Secondary process. So if you're thinking about how our brains work, we know that your overall health affects your brain health. Every single fucking article on the internet is like, bitch, you got to hydrate. Like your brain is desiccating right now. Hydrate. Sweetie, go to sleep. Drink some water. Take a nap for the love of God. Eat a vegetable. We know that all of this stuff impacts our brain health.
Right.
We know it. But if our overall health and our overall brain health impacts our ability to process sensory data, what does that mean? What does it mean for more than just that moment? There's like, I can see one version of like colors, or I can hear better, or I can focus better, or all of that. Like we know all that. So better overall health makes better overall sensory perception processing because brain health's better. Then that means that the sensory perception processing being better means that the ability to imagine sensory data is better, right? Because if a person has a hearing or a visual impairment, they won't be able to self-create those as the same. And the same way, if you're unfocused and you're not really focusing on something, you really can't picture it because you didn't picture it. You didn't take it in. So if your brain being able to process an image does better with overall health, then that means that the ability to then be able to visualize that without the actual stimuli is better when your health is better, which means that if we know that being able to visualize a goal equals a higher success rate, then that means that if you can increase your health so that your ability to visualize is better, then you can increase your success just like whatever the fuck you want to do. It doesn't matter. You're like, I want to buy a boat and make money to buy a boat. I want to be able to run a fucking 4K. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? The actual like 1 + 1 = 2, that like your ability to be successful in whatever it is in this world that you want to do is so tied to your health that your ability to actually visualize is better because your health is better. And then the implication of that is that when we as a society make it so that some people, for whatever reason, whether it is who they are as a person, whether it is their socioeconomic status, their skin color, their religion, how they identify and experiencing themselves, who they love, when we make it so that it is harder to achieve health, it means we are literally making it harder to achieve success. And we know that, right? Like we know, like, okay, like give a kid breakfast, he'll do better in school. But like the idea that you literally can't visualize what success looks like in the same way, if your brain isn't as healthy as it could be, it means you literally can't visualize success in the same way.
Yeah.
Like we know it, right? Like we know, like drink some water, your brain will be happier. But like drink some water, your dreams can come true. Holy fuck.
Right?
Oh my God. Like, okay, fine. I'll drink some water for the love of God. Like, okay, I'll go on a little like mental health hot girl walk. Okay. Maybe somebody else already knew this and said this, but I've never heard anybody say it like this. If your overall health being better means that your sensory, your ability to perceive sensory stimuli is better, that means that your ability to visualize or imagine is better, which means that you have a better ability to achieve whatever it is that you want. Because being able to visualize whatever you want to do increases success rate.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? It has parts of, and it's been years since I had to read it for a work thing. But did any of your employers ever make you read The Secret?
No.
Okay. But it's about like thinking, it's been years. But it's basically like visualization of good stuff will shape your life to be good. And just like practicing that, like visualizing what outcome you want will solidify that outcome.
Yes. It's also, I want you to think about all of the sensory data that your brain has to process. Like every second, it's trillions of bits of it, right? It's the way that your shirt feels on you, the temperature of the room, what you see, what you hear, the lower frequencies of what you hear. What does your mouth feel like? What do your teeth feel like in your mouth? What does your tongue, you know, et cetera, right? It is so much that your body and brain simply cannot hold on to everything, right? Because could you imagine having to remember what every, all of that feels like every nanosecond? Like, no fucking thank you. I'm already overstimulated.
Well, or if you think about processes that are just natural that you don't have to think about, if that makes sense. Like, have you ever like thought about how you breathe and then you're like, oh, am I breathing weird? This is weird, right? Yeah, that whole number. Yeah.
So we have all of the sensory data that's coming in, right? And we're perceiving it, bucketing it, deciding what's important, deciding what's not. And when you take the time to visualize, or take the time to figure out what you want to actually pay attention to, then you pay attention to it because you're telling your brain, hey, we're looking for good stuff today. We're looking for proof that everybody loves me. We're looking for proof that I'm funny and I can do whatever it is that I want to do. Think about when, I don't know, a new pair of shoes and you're like, oh my God, I love these Vans. And then you look around and you're like, oh my God, everybody has Vans. It's not because everybody suddenly has Vans. It's because you're noticing it because you told your brain, hey, keep an eye out for Vans.
Yeah.
Anywho. Brain shit, man. Happy fucking New Year. Like, is this gonna, if this is like breaking your brain, please tell me, because I'm like hyped about it in a way that's like, oh, it's so easy to like love myself when I'm like loving myself will literally make all my dreams come true. Like, how lovely is that? And like, just the idea that like I don't have control over everything in my life, but I can make sure I go to bed and drink some fucking water.
Yeah. And that's a good start to the new year.
Yeah.
To have like a positive outlook, to think about good things.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's a good way to think of things and to help others perhaps think more positively in a realm that's kind of hard to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. DM us if you want a picture of the murder board. I'm not going to put it on the internet because if it's wrong, I don't want someone to come yell at me because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd love to be wrong for right for once. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm wrong, but it makes me like love myself. I saw some TikTok where someone was like, if you're having a hard time with discipline, try devotion. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's me this year, right? Like, maybe I'm like,
oh, I just love myself so much that I've got to drink this water because I want to succeed in all the things and all my dreams. I don't know.
Yeah.
Woo woo. To baby.
No, that's a good year goal. You know, like to, I'm going to change my outlook on thinking. I'm going to think more positively. I'm going to try to nourish my brain so it does better and doesn't fuck shit up.
And look, you don't have to say I'm going to like try to think more positively. It's I'm going to notice good things because sometimes things are bad. Like sometimes life just really fucking sucks. And even when life really, really sucks, there is still some type of good that is existing. I don't know, the way it feels like when you get into bed and you get cozy, or the way that the sky looks, or how soft your shirt is, something.
How cute your sleeping pup behind
maybe
you.
Maybe big things, maybe little things. Happy 2026, sweeties. Moo doesn't bark at all. The only time she barks is in her sleep, or if you get her super riled up, which has literally been like years since I've heard her like bark, bark. And she's like, rat, rat. It's like a little rat bark. She barks as though she's not designed to bark.
Okay. Okay. I like it. I like it.
So, wow. Wow. It's just, it's hilarious and adorable because she never does it. But I'm like, if I heard that coming from the woods, I'd be like, that's Moo, but that's a super fucking weird sound.
Speck scream barks.
Oh, what a treat.
Yeah. Well, he has husky in him. Mm. And so when he gets upset or when he's super happy, he just lets out a weird scream. So yeah, terrifying in itself, but I'd know it anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
We also just heard Potato bark for the first time.
Oh, because he has some excellent news to scream about, right?
So our dog that we adopted from Puerto Rico on my birthday trip, where I went and decided I was bringing home a 50-pound pit bull, who's now 70 pounds. He's gained weight. He's good.
Oh, I love that.
But he was heartworm positive since April. And as of like a week ago, we're in the middle of December. He's finally heartworm free. So we're very stoked.
Huzzah.
Yes. Yes. Now he could be a normal pup. We still have a few more vet visits to go. We have to get him neutered and he has some really broken teeth. But once we're done with that, then I think he's like a standard couch potato pup now.
We love to hear it.
Yeah. I think I've shared some pictures. I'll share another picture because he's just so freaking cute. But
yeah.
Anyways, dog barks. We did hear him bark for the first time and it was hilarious because we're like, "What? Whose bark is that?" We were actually stunned because he doesn't talk.
Yeah.
But someone was out beyond our yard and he decided, this is my yard now.
Oh, oh. Okay. He was a hot potato, if you will. He was like, no, no.
He was a hot potato. Yeah. But it was funny because we're like, what dog is that? What dog is in our house?
Oh my gosh. She's just fucking straight snoring, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's Hallie. Hallie is the same, but she's taking over two beds right now.
Oh, Moo would if she had, if given the opportunity. If you haven't watched some of the footage of these protests, I'm quite specifically thinking of, I want to think it's the Daily Show, where they're playing audio of conservative kind of mouthpieces talking about how violent liberal protesters are. And there's like a video of them doing the cha-cha slide. There's like a group of old people like singing on the acoustic guitars. Yep. Like it's like, it's like
Portland,
these are,
are,
yeah, yes. And that, I think that's what it was. And they're like, these are dangerous criminals. And it's a person in like a chicken suit just like vibing. And it's like,
yeah, yeah. There's some satire TikToks of people going, we're in the war zone of Portland.
Yeah.
And they're like walking and there's someone with like an acoustic guitar and like people dancing and like just happiness. Someone getting like a coffee and they're like, it's so dangerous. The coffee's so hot here.
Like, yeah. I've seen people being like, I'm going to go to the farmer's market in the war zone. Wish me luck. And they have their little like tote and they're like going by a baked good. Like,
so I think someone like bumped into them and they're like, see?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, I think it's all a lot, though, you know?
It is, mentally, yeah. So I know some of you listen to this to escape it, but also a lot of, some people don't know still.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for people to perhaps take a minute sometimes and see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you could phase out again, but it's like, just know, because maybe you could do a small part.
Yeah, and it's also, I think one of the things that I am very aware of is that the ability to phase out is a privilege. It means that what's going on doesn't affect you to that degree. Like
yet.
Right. Yet. But even still, like, I think that like really to have to name somebody who isn't affected by what is going on at all,
it's hard.
It's like you're kind of have to be pressed to do it. Right. Like you are affected in some way. It's just, is it a way that is making your life unbearable? You know?
Yeah.
And
agreed. It's getting weird. Mm-hmm. AMC has sent me 3 correction emails, and now I'm like, I just sent the final one to Mike so that we don't use the wrong ones because we got tickets to the finale of Stranger Things.
Oh, I didn't know there was a you could be in the theater. Mm-hmm. Ben's mom's going to be here, so we can't do that. I'm like, can we watch it still? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. She's also into Labubus now with us.
Oh my God, I saw someone selling them the other day for $8. And I was like, I don't know if she'd like this one. And I only have 10 seconds. Oh.
It could have been a LeFoufou, though.
No, it's like a different, like, it is a different brand. But when I looked them up, they go for like $80.
So if it's not, no. When I say a LeFoufou, that's a fake Labubu that's like posing as a Labubu. There's like other types of like mystery boxes that are like that.
Yeah.
I just, these little guys, what a treat.
One of the downsides to buying our house when we had our beagle was, for some reason, he hated hooved creatures. And so when we take him for rides, and if he saw tracks from a horse, or some people like walk their donkeys around, it's very bizarre.
As one does.
And we also had cows on the other side before they developed the other area of our development.
Mm-hmm.
There's cows that lived there. And whenever he'd get the trail of a hooved animal, all of his hair would stand up and he'd do the beagle howl. And
he's like, I don't like these fucking hooves. They've got no business in my suburban neighborhood. Absolutely not.
Exactly. Yeah. But
I'm not living on a fucking farm. And I'm a suburban boy. A man comes with a battery for me. The Onion, they're also having a hard time because we don't know what is the Onion and what's not the Onion anymore.
We were talking about that before we started recording, too.
But you know what I do like? I do like Vanity Fair's photo spread. That's actually like very relevant right now.
I died.
I was like, look at you taking photos. I love this for you. Really take these photos. Zoomed in. Really let people's.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The zoomed in. So good. It was like an absolute like middle finger. And I loved it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a jump scare for reals.
It was a jump scare. I was like, oh, that's real.
Do you know
the Muffin Man?
You know about just little bits of punk, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know the Sex Pistols?
Yeah, I know. And
do you know like their iconic picture with like the eyes? So someone took J.D. Vance's picture.
Amazing.
And put her eyes over it. And like, this is the new punk rock album because it's like anti them. And I was dying because it's so
amazing.
Terrifying.
Amazing.
Anyways. OK. I saw that literally like an hour before.
One of my favorite pieces of content is people who talk about how short J.D. Vance's pants are, because every time he sits down, they're like the hems of his pants are like
they're getting up
mid shin to like knee, and like. Tailored pants shouldn't come up that high, because if that was the way it was, all men would look like that.
Yeah.
But he literally looks just like a little lad. You know what I'm saying? Like because it comes up that high, like so high that his socks that are pulled up all the way, like he's showing calf. He's showing shin and calf meat. And it's just like Vance pants, the funniest thing in the world to me.
Have you seen? Oh, gosh, there's an account. It's like. Their goal is to have more, their cats have more followers than J.D. Vance.
I there's like obviously a need for like very intense and real like discourse about the horrors that are occurring.
Yes, yes.
But there is also something lighthearted about literally just being like, you're ridiculous. Like you're just like a ridiculous human being.
Yeah.
And meeting some of this like absolute garbage and shit show with just like
nonsense,
just like laughing, because it's like this. You are so ridiculous, like the level of just bonkers that things are.
Uh-huh.
And so like, have you seen the videos where
the frog
in protests, right? Like, are people in the animal costumes? But there's also like where somebody will be like, they'll go to arrest a protester and like the group of protesters will be like, cuff me, daddy. And like, they're all doing it in that voice and they're like putting their hands behind their back and like sticking their ass out. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, way to de-escalate a situation, right? Like, is that violent? Like, how are you going to say that those protesters are violent when they're literally saying that? And like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's hard to make those videos when they're all. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to villainize people when they meet you with also like
with some of it with joy.
Silliness.
They're dancing. They're like, not only are we present and we're not tolerating this, but like, we're not meeting you with aggression. We're literally meeting you with joy.
Yeah.
And so try to come at that. But also, like, how bizarre that we are not in a society where someone gets to be frustrated when they're being oppressed. You have to be like, no, but I'm funny. Don't kill me. I'm funny.
Yeah.
That's a horror in and of its fucking self. But like, yeah, what a time. What a fucking time. Anyway.
Right.
One of the people in one of the frog suit, they put tear gas like yeah, in his fucking did. Suit. And I was or in their suit. And I was like, that's so purposeful. Like garbage. Like horrors. The fucking horrors of the world.
It's interesting that now, like, compared to history, we have so much video evidence of the nonsense happening.
Yeah.
And one, everyone's becoming numb to it, which is really scary.
Mm-hmm.
But two, even with video evidence, it's not enough anymore.
And I think that one of the ways in which Trump quite specifically turned fact on its face was the idea of fake news, and that people were creating news and creating videos and doing these and that kind of narrative, that that's what's existing. So now you could literally have like a video of someone doing something heinous and it's like, oh, that's not real. Like that's the answer. It's like, oh, it's not real. And if you had like a expert verify the video. Yeah. But even if you had an expert verify a video was real, they would then go look into that expert's like political yeah. history and they're leading you go, oh, well, are you a liar? And it's like,
mm-hmm. It's scary.
It's scary that like it seems as though there's not ability to like have true fact for a lot of people.
What's that movie where the the trees and the plants are killing the people?
Oh, my God. It's like The Mist. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan.
No, The Mist is fucked up. But no, it's not that.
Oh, The Mist is different.
Yeah. The Mist is about mist.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
I know what you're talking about. I think it doesn't it have, oh my God, a Wahlberg in it?
Hold on, what?
I also saw a TikTok where this person, like they had a panic attack in front of their bird. And then their bird was like an asshole and would just like mock them and be like, it was like getting roasted by your fucking bird.
Did you see the bird? I forget what it's playing, but they have like a camera in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that in the video, it's very dark. Like you assume it's like middle of the night, right? And their reaction seems like middle of the night. But the bird is talking to the Alexa and has it play like party music so it could dance.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I fucking love that. There's also, just talking of bird TikToks, there's like these people that like they have a in their pantry, they'll like redo a shelf for the bird so it can like rage in there. Amazing. Have you seen that one before?
No.
I will send you one of these because like they made it like a little woodland scape and it was like in there and it was like dancing and it would just like throw its head back and be like rawr, bird sounds.
I love it.
It was like a tiny little like domestic bird.
Oh, that's cute.
Because there's a horror everywhere now. Technology, the horrors in the government, the horrors in the corporations. I learned a new fun fact, which is that there's a fiber additive that's made of human hair and duck feathers that they put into our food. Why the fuck not?
Of course. Why not? Why? Honestly, you could say anything and I'd be like, yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I was like, there's an additive that's made of like platypus anuses and human teeth, you'd be like, yeah, it probably dyes things blue. Like, and we use it in America.
Only in America. It's banned everywhere else. But here.
Only in America. Yeah. They're like, you know what? We can't put we can't like leave nutrients in food. We're just going to give them some duck feathers and some of their own hair. Why not? Why not?
Yeah. I mean, sure. Why not? Honestly, any headline now, I'm just like, cool. Cool. My husband has a cold and I'm like, please don't come near me.
Please don't stay in my house.
I've been Lysoling everything. And I'm like, can you move to a hotel?
When Ben or I get sick, like you move out of the bedroom. Like it's just the rule. Don't make the other person sick. Okay. This is like forever long. Happy New Year, babies. We already said goodbye before, but I'm saying goodbye again.
Hope everyone has a great first part of their year.
Wow. Wow. Hey, come ride me.